T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
With the third selection of the 2019 MLB Draft, the Chicago White Sox select Andrew Vaughn, a first baseman from University of California at Berkeley. With the third selection of the 2019 MLB Draft, the Chicago White Sox select Andrew Vaughn.
Andrew Vaughn slugs this ball to left field. Calhoun is back. It is gone. Bring him home. That is why the White Sox are so high on the first-round pick from a couple of years ago out of Cal. Andrew Vaughn, a three-run shot in the first.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons on The Score.
Jason Benetti with the call. Andrew Vaughn had a home run, a three-run homer, in the first spring training game for the White Sox. If you're tuning in to hear Matt Miller, a longtime Score contributor, newly with ESPN Television. We thought we were going to be able to have him on. He thought he was going to be able to come on. And at the last minute.
Good evening. I'm Ken Bastida. Dana is off tonight. He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
Really, there's nothing else to add. Matt Miller is now dead to us, and that report may as well be about him.
The best. That's not a syntax joke drop. That is a sentence pacing, right? That's a
It's like more of a punctuation or delivery joke.
He was about murdered death and fire. Then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
That's a tough break for Dana. Tough break for Dana, who can't be there. It's really tough.
Thought they were just taking the Friday newscast off to have a long weekend. But no. Murdered and set on fire.
All-timer.
It's tough. On the birthday, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. What were they wishing for?
Yeah. I mean, if you're just murdered and set on fire like a week before your birthday, that's easier to take, frankly.
Much easier to take.
Especially for Dana.
It's going to ruin birthdays going forward. We're idiots. I'll get to my Cubs thing in a minute, but you had a specific piece of insight on Andrew Vaughn that I'd like to hear about.
Well, here's the thing, is that I've been very high on him. A lot of people have been very high on him. He's a really solid hitter to all fields, willing to go the opposite field, really good strike zone control. And his success bears that out everywhere. Dominant in high school as a pitcher too, by the way, goes to Cal Berkeley, freshman of the year in the Pac-12. It's real conference, freshman of the year, OPS in the high nines. As a sophomore, 23 homers, OPS of like 1.3 something, ridiculous. Player of the year in the conference, National Player of the Year, Golden Spikes Award as a sophomore. Junior, OPS again in like the 1.2 range. Another great year, tore up the Cape Cod that whole summer. Like, and he has it. 1 year in the minors, three different levels, like 205 at-bats, nothing above A ball. Combined OPS, though, of 832, very solid, an on-base percentage of 384. Like, the success has always been there, and we've heard that he has the maturity as a hitter. Like, everybody's saying these kind of good things, right? You feel like you've heard that he is a guy who theoretically should not miss as an offensive player, as a hitter at the big league level.
And projecting hitters at the top of the draft, position players at the top of the draft, has a much, much, much higher success rate than projecting pitchers at the top of the draft. So ever since they've selected him with the third overall pick, there has been some sort of inevitability to this guy's going to make it to the majors, but not only that, he will make it to the majors quickly, and that bat is going to, it's going to work. There's a very high floor in the discussion of Andrew Vaughn from Jump Street with that dude.
Absolutely. But if you watch the game and you love watching the game and kind of dissecting hitters and sort of figuring out who's got it or not, sometimes you see a young hitter and it's obvious that he's incomplete. Like you see a pull happy launch angle power bat who might hit 30 homers but has no ability really to go to the opposite field and have contact with two strikes, right? We see that kind of thing all the time. Sometimes we see a free swinging contact machine who doesn't really have bat control or an understanding of the strike zone. We see that kind of thing. And sometimes we see what we've seen in Andrew Vaughn so far, where we see a real good all-fields hitter, like guy who's got good strike zone control, willingness and ability to go the other way. But you wonder, is he going to turn on the inside pitch and hit it out of the park? Is he going to hammer mistakes inside? Because if he can't do that, even if he's good with bat control, willing to go the other way, he becomes easier to attack. And I take you to a specific guy, and that's Avisail Garcia. White Sox fans will remember exactly watching Avisail Garcia and saying, man, he reminds me of Miguel Cabrera, because of the body type, but also because of the hit tool, the willingness to go the opposite field, the strike zone control, the power to drive the ball to opposite fields. But we waited and waited and waited and never saw Avi Garcia turn on the inside pitch with regularity and hit homers. So he became easy to attack. That all of a sudden pitchers know you can attack him in there, bust him inside, and then a guy gets anxious about this weakness and other parts of the strike zone become a problem. This is an archetype. It's one of many different baseball archetypes as an offensive player. And Andrew Vaughn yesterday hammered an inside pitch for a pull home run to left field with very short arms on a swing, and it was easy power on an inside pitch that he's supposed to demolish and do exactly that with. And if he's going to be that guy, if he's going to hit the inside, I think it was a sinker that was low, but if he's going to hit like a mistake inside for power to left with a short arm stroke and also be the guy who extends his arms and goes the opposite field into the gap, if he's going to be that guy, well, then he's ready and could produce at a very high level. And that is specifically a skill that they've been wanting to see from him and need to see more from him. Not just one homer in spring does it, but that is a very specific, detailed thing that Andrew Vaughn is showing you. And if he shows you that in addition to the other stuff we know, man, that I just think that dude is going to be the opening day DH and deserves to be it. And if he's not the DH, he'll be playing somewhere. I think that guy will be in the opening day lineup and deserves to be so.
I hope so, because they didn't address DH in a more meaningful way with money. And so if he isn't ready, that I think would open up a very legitimate gripe for White Sox fans, where you're trying to win every game this year from opening day to be a World Series contender. And if your answer is Andrew Vaughn is here, he's cheap, we're not going to worry about service time manipulation, we haven't signed him to our Rick Hahn special contract where we buy out a year of arbitration but give him cost certainty super early. Like, if you are going to just say, we are going to let this dude play from Jump Street, and if it ends up costing us a year of his big league career on the back end or it costs us some money, I'll be right there at the front of the line with you applauding it. But if they keep him in the minors for a month in order to do that, then without spending on DH, I think that opens up a cheapness conversation, or like, yeah, you're trying to contend, but you're trying to contend with the bare bone minimum amount of money spent possible. And that's just not how the big boys do it. And this roster suggests that they should be a big boy player and a legitimate World Series contender. But I agree with you based on everything they're saying. Like, I think, like, if you had to bet on it right now, does he open up the season in AAA or the majors? I think the majors would be the favorite. I think they are committed to doing that.
I think so. And the news yesterday from Passan about how AAA is going to be delayed by a month, so Vaughn would essentially be at the alternate site if he's not
sure,
here.
Right.
makes it even more absurd. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Yes, we could probably let it play out, you know, the rest of spring. But what if they knew, Danny, what if they knew that Andrew Vaughn is that dude? Because I think he is. So if they knew that and they felt real good about that and therefore chose not to spend, at least right now, on a veteran bat for a DH, leaving themselves the option to do it a month into the season if needed, or at the deadline if it gets that far, or hell, even before opening day, because there are still street free agents out there who would give you something fairly dependable as a veteran DH. Like, I think this has a chance to make the specific cries about that cheapness feel unnecessary, because he will be cheaper.
Just be right.
I of course, he'll be cheaper. I think he's also got a real good chance to be better. Not than Nelson Cruz, you know, but better than some other veteran DH types that they could have plugged in. I think this guy might be the absolute real deal and be ready to do that for you from the jump.
Well, two things. One, let's hear from Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu would seem to be a pretty good firsthand source on this, and he's echoing a lot of what you're saying on Andrew Vaughn.
I've been impressed with him since I saw him last summer in the summer camp. You know, when I saw him there and you know, just the way that he worked, just the way that he handled himself, I was impressive. And he had a lot of talent. You know, I don't have any doubt in my mind that he's ready to play in the majors and ready to help us, you know, at the major league level. For me, I think he's a guy that respects the game. He's a guy that work hard, and you know, and I think those two factors are big factors to have success in the major. From my part, I know that I just have to guide him and help him and give him advices for him to try to make as less mistake as possible. Because, you know, I know that he's going to make mistakes because we all make mistakes in the major league, but we just try to minimize those mistakes. And then that's going to be, you know, that's going to be my role, just to try to help him and guide him to take advantage of the talent that he has and to explode or the tools that he brings to the table for us. Then, you know, I don't have any doubt in my mind that he's ready to, you know, to play in the majors.
So that's obviously through Jose Abreu's translator, Billy Russo, but can't get a much better peer-to-peer endorsement than that from Jose Abreu on Andrew Vaughn. The next thing I'd ask you is, because we agree, based on their actions, it seems like he's going to be there on opening day. Based on their words, it seems like he's going to be there on opening day. You disagree?
No, I don't disagree. It's just it's a little tricky. They got to figure out what they're doing with Zach Collins. Got to figure out what they're doing with the third catcher situation. But no, go ahead.
I can see you, and you seem like you're maybe hedging on one of those two. I wasn't sure which one it was. But the other thing is, like, when you talk about success for him early,
yeah,
and you mentioned his OPS in A ball of 820 something. Like, that's not. What is define success? Like, what is a reasonable expectation for Andrew Vaughn if he plays 100-something games in the big leagues this year as a rookie, primarily as a DH, and gets 400 plate appearances? Is that what we're talking about here? Are you talking about that number for him? Because if they're breaking camp with him and going to not do the service time manipulation, they're going to be committed to playing him a lot. So say it's 350, 400 plate appearances, somewhere in there.
Sure.
What is reasonable for a guy who's never played above A-ball where you'd be like, yeah, see, he is that dude. Is it an OPS just over 800?
No, it's a little higher than that for the importance of it and for the quality of prospect that he is. It's right around, a, you know, 880, 900 OPS, that kind of thing.
900 OPS.
Yeah, we're going to look at a number like that. I want an OBP of higher than 350. I want an OPS of higher than 850. Yeah, I mean you're saying you think you can get that, and you should be getting that from that guy as a rookie. I mean, that's why you drafted him that high, you know? And maybe even better than that. And certainly better than that long term. I mean, you think he's going to be...
Yeah, no, better than that long term, absolutely.
Better than that long term. But also, and it's also, Danny, like, if it only ends up being 350 plate appearances, 400 plate appearances, because Grandal ends up DHing some, or Eloy Jimenez ends up DHing some, or you mix and match or whatever, screw his service time, and screw the idea of needing to send him down, frankly, for more at-bats. As long as he's producing in the at-bats that he's getting enough, then just use him as a piece of your winning puzzle, because your time is freaking right now. So he is a weapon that should be in your arsenal right now, a tool that ought to be in your toolbox, and use him as much as you would the socket wrench or the crescent wrench or the vice grips, my favorite underrated tool in the toolbox. Vice grips, can we agree? Vice grips, so solid, so necessary.
Well, I'm a longtime toolbox guy, as you know, so... Yes,
Shane, Tanny, the utility of the vice grips is high, isn't it?
You kidding me? Like, every time I fix something, which is not often, wife's like, how'd you fix that? Vice grips. Like, vice grips helped. If I'm fixing one of my White Sox bobbleheads, I'm always using a vice grip.
It's like, no, I don't have a wrench set for everything. I just adjust the vice grips. That's what I do. Okay? So leave me alone. So if Andrew Vaughn is the vice grips, use them. Use them plenty.
Can we set up a time before or after the show for Shane to teach Spiegs about analogies? Because he's got Andrew Vaughn as a vice grip and Garrett Crochet and Michael Kopech as ambidextrous gravy. I just feel like White Sox fans are going to be confused with all of these analogies that need to be explained. Like, see, Shane is an analogy rabbit. Shane, give me an analogy on what Andrew Vaughn's going to be to the White Sox right now.
Well, I don't know about Andrew Vaughn, but like Spiegs' analogies are like, you're hunting a rabbit, right? Like you want rabbit for dinner. There are a surplus of rabbits. You go out there to hunt a rabbit and you accidentally shoot your child. It's like a different kind of thing. And that's kind of what Spieg's analogies are.
They have gravy. They have like two-sided ambidextrous gravy.
I'm going to die on the Garrett Crochet, Michael Kopech ambidextrous gravy hill. I will die on that one. I feel good about it. In fact, I think there should be a T-shirt with ambidextrous gravy, a big old gravy boat with two arms coming out of it, hands extended with baseballs. Right? What do you think, Shane? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that.
That's kind of like it, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Sounds delicious.
So I feel good about that. Texture says Vaughn is the nut straight. That Deshaun Watson is not the nut straight.
Oh, good.
He's helping Dan Orlovsky get there.
That's very much appreciated. By the way, I apologize for being late. I was early on wishing you guys a happy Layla Wednesday Eve yesterday, but I wanted to wish you guys officially a happy Layla Wednesday all around.
Oh, thank you.
To
you and yours.
Yeah, and also with you. I like that. Yesterday we had Bernsey on. For an airing of grievances. Look, I know that Layla is...
We're going to have Layla on, we think.
We are? I know she was proving to be a very tough book on Layla Wednesday. I was going to suggest that if we can't get her for whatever reason, that we just book a teammate from another show to celebrate Layla Wednesday. That we think about the holiday as perhaps more inclusive, you know, like welcoming a Jew to communion, something like that.
Layla told me that we can call her sometime in the 4 o'clock hour. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, great. Right. Okay. Well, then we will get Layla on for Layla Wednesday for the first time. We are 0 for our last two or three attempts for Layla Wednesday's getting Layla Rahim.
And I think, Danny, it's best. Like, I think she gets worried or nervous, so we shouldn't even warn her. We should just, like, because she listens, so mid-segment, we'll just call her.
Fine. I'll give you my baseball thing coming up here in the next segment. Then the last segment of the 4 o'clock hour, we'll just call Layla on the fly to wish her a happy Layla Wednesday.
I'm gonna do some more ideating on the ambidextrous gravy T-shirt, like whether it's gravy boats coming out of the hands or baseballs coming out of the hands that are coming out of the gravy boat. So is that the one, Tanny?
I like that. I can picture it right now. Just it would be funny with the two little hands with little baseballs going like this.
Delicious ambidextrous gravy for all of my friends.
I don't know who's buying an ambidextrous gravy shirt, but me. I want him to be our
silver
friend.
And black, I'm wearing it.
One of one. The thing I read about a new Cub that stopped me in my tracks. Next on The Score.
Peterson turns on it. High drive. Forget about it. He has ended the night. Jock Peterson with a two-run walk-off home run to give the Dodgers the 4-3 win on Jackie Robinson night.
Everybody's ready to go, gearing up, and it's good to see these guys out there. I hit the live BP with Jock yesterday and watched him take a fastball over the fence to left center and got really excited about what that's going to look like at Wrigley Field.
So, Jock Peterson is one of the newest Cubs, and I guess it would be accurate to say Spiegs, their highest profile offensive acquisition, right?
Yes, oh, certainly. Yes.
Yeah,
it's him.
Even just on a one-year deal.
Yeah, him on offense, Jake Arrieta as a pitcher. Those are your highest profile acquisitions for the Cubs.
Yeah, Kyle Davies. I mean, Kyle Davies is fairly, yes. High, you know, just, yeah. But yeah, so Jock Peterson, the highest profile acquisition on the offensive side of the ball and the lineup. And reading Joe.
The offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I realized I said offensive side of the ball, and then, you know, I'm not in my baseball.
He's a two-way player. He's pretty good defending on the pick and roll.
You may like baseball, Danny.
Does.
Lots of two-way players. In fact, there are nine.
So he's better
of them.
Than Zach LaVine at defense? Yeah. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, what's his PER? What's his PER, and how does he fit into Coach Nagy's scheme? Freaking baseball.
And can you bet on him to score the first basket of the game?
My God. Yeah, and if he can't, then I'm not interested. Shane, bookmark that for later, because I am on a dominant run, and Danny is shy to talk about it for whatever reason. Maybe feels intimidated that my gambling prowess is jumping up to some kind of level of unacceptability for, I'm JohnnyRadio.com gambling boy. I got a Sunday morning show. But I have figured out a market inefficiency in gambling via FanDuel, and I want to talk about it. So, sorry, Danny, go ahead.
Danny, we had no idea that you called yourself JohnnyRadio.com gambling boy.
Yeah, with my arms flailing in the air and my voice goes way up. I didn't
JohnnyRadio.com gambling
boy. What's your take on
Jock? Yeah, back to Jock Peterson being a two-way player with a good PER.
All right. The point is, he was their biggest position player acquisition this offseason. There has been buzz about him. He hits the home run earlier today in spring training. But before the show, I was reading Joe Posnanski. He's been doing team profiles, ranking teams from 30 down to 1 as they've moved throughout the spring. And the Cubs came up a little earlier than I would have liked, because he has the Cubs as the 23rd best team in baseball this year, which, okay, fine, just one man's opinion. They're not going to be very good. The division isn't good. We've talked all about that. But in the notes, as he was going through each different section about the Cubs, he wrote a lot, by the way, about Chris Bryant losing his happiness and trying to regain it, and how he hopes he does. Mm-hmm. He had this little nugget about Jock Peterson. He said, "I was talking to one MLB insider who is convinced Jock Peterson is going to hit 40-plus home runs for the Cubs this year and be a legitimate MVP candidate."
Wow.
I went on one of those JohnnyGunRadio.com gambling boy websites when I read that, and Jock Peterson was not even listed as an MVP candidate on the board, and they had so many long shots that they would go all the way down to 100-1 to be the MVP for this baseball season. And I have to be honest with you, Spiegs.
Yeah.
I was stopped in my tracks by the idea of Jock Peterson being a 40 home run guy. I was like, I thought he was like a 25 home run guy. And I went to Baseball Reference, and in 2019, he did have an outlier for him, 36 home run season. And then other years, it was, you know, 24, 26, mid-20s, kind of what I thought he was when they acquired him. And so I will ask you, mm-hmm. Mr. Baseball, is that really, like, obviously anything's possible, but is that
anything's possible?
Is that whoever that is who's telling that to Joe Posnanski, Is that like you play this season out 100 times and one out of 100, he's 40-plus and a MVP candidate? Or is that like a 10% chance? Like how absurd or rare would it be for Jock Peterson to break out in that way? We know he bet on himself. He chose the Cubs because they were going to give him the option to play every day. Mm-hmm. Schwarber's gone. He can have more than 500 plate appearances, assuming health. I understand all of that. But we know about his splits through his career. Is this guy legitimately in play 40-plus home runs and an MVP? Because that would change some things about the Cubs' offense.
The MVP part is crazy. The MVP part is quite something.
Okay. It struck me as ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, the 40 homers does not shock me to think about. I mean, you said it. He had 36 when he had 514 plate appearances in 2019 for the Dodgers. That's recent. So give the man plate appearances, and it's conceivable. Yeah, you know, the thing is, he was a big-time prospect as an everyday player, as an all-around player. Like, he was a top-10 guy when Chris Bryant was a top-10 guy in terms of prospect lists and ceilings. And he never developed in full for the Dodgers. You could argue that he was never really given the chance because they have been in constant win-for-it mode and had a ton of options. Why let Jock Peterson learn how to hit against lefties when you can have Kike Hernandez hit against lefties or Chris Taylor hit against lefties? And then later on have even better players.
I have the splits, by the way.
Oh, they're horrific. They're terrifying. For sure.
They're as stark as I. So he's got 130 career home runs. Mm-hmm. You want to take a guess at how many of them are against lefties?
How many of 130 career homers are against lefties? Less than 10.
Nine.
Not okay. Yeah.
That's which is less than 10.
Okay.
An 849 career OPS against righties, a 576 career OPS against lefties.
576.
That's
okay.
Wild.
Do you have plate appearances? Do you have plate appearances splits? How often has he been given the chance to do it? Because
he has, for his career, 385 plate appearances against lefties.
That's 385 times at the big league level he's been given a chance to hit big league lefties. Is that enough to write someone off completely? You believe in human development. I believe in human development. I believe that baseball guys can sometimes develop later. I don't know that it's going to happen, but somebody was going to give him the chance. Somebody was absolutely going to give him a chance. He wasn't sure who it was going to be. He was sitting around one night looking at, like, you know, maybe the Cubs will give me a chance. He called Jed Hoyer, and Jed was super honest with him. Did you read some of that stuff that just came out over the last day or two about Jed? Like, Jed Hoyer said, wow, I didn't think we'd get a chance to talk to free agents of your caliber. that's pretty honest, and that's weird, and that's telling, but that's what it is. But somebody was going to give him a chance, and it's like, you know, we often talk about this in baseball terms. How is a starting pitcher going to learn to be good the third time through the lineup if he's never given a chance to figure out how to be good a third time through the lineup? You know, so, and some guys are not going to, and you're making the right choice to never let them do it. And some guys think they're Blake Snell, and I'd be fine the third time through the lineup. Thank you very much. Don't go freaking out. I know I have the depth of stuff, and if you gave me a chance, I would change my plan, and I would adjust and do it. Thank you. You know, and Jock may be one of those guys. His pedigree is such, his work ethic is such, that it's entirely possible. So I will absolutely watch him with interest and some hope that he can prove that he earns it. And just in terms of the 40 homers, I mean, it depends what he tries to do against lefties. Do you want to shorten up and be a contact guy? Because you don't have to be the same hitter against righties that you are against lefties. Chipper Jones went to the Hall of Fame being one kind of hitter against one side and one kind of hitter against the right side. Whoa, boy. Knocked down.
What just happened?
Just knocked down. Did
Julio come into your condo there?
Brett Boone just got fired.
Alex Cora.
Yes.
Alex Cora.
I was enveloped in something over here. No, knocked over a nice coffee into a couple picture frames here in the bedroom.
But
if Jock just goes to be a
radio.com boy,
that's
the only time I don't want you back in studio, if you're spilling iced coffee all over the console.
Didn't spill a drop because I'm in my Yeti with the lid and the straw. Did not spill a drop. By the way, my Yeti, personalized as a gift from the
wife. Wow, a Tributosaurus Yeti.
It's a Tributosaurus Yeti. It's absolutely true.
Is that the logo on there? That's impressive. That your wife must really love you.
It is. Yes. What do they? Not embroidered. What do they call it when they do that?
Enveloped.
Sewn on.
Not sewn on. Not enveloped. Monogrammed.
Embossed.
Not embossed because monogrammed.
Yeah, it's monogrammed.
Carpet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like embroidered. Can you embroider onto metal? Is that something you can do? I don't think so. But anyway,
congratulations on your personalized Yeti thing that you just spilled. I said, you're like looking for congratulations. Like, look at what I have.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
But yeah, cool. Ross is on board. David Ross said this about Jock Peterson. A lot of players get labeled in this game really fast. I thought we had a great opportunity for him. We'll find out if he can do that. He wants to prove it to himself. He wants to prove it to us. So Jock will get a chance. I'll tell you what, though. If by July he's still not doing it, then those at-bats are going to go away. I think those at-bats are probably going to go away. But
yeah,
we'll see where they are.
Just on his baseball reference page, his projections for this year say 25 home runs. Like what their calculus is. I don't know how much stock you put into that, if any, at all. But
plate appearance totals there on that projection?
Sorry, I'm on the splits page. I'll go back.
Gotcha.
To it.
But that's cool.
I'll have it in 2 seconds.
Yeah. So they might. They don't know how much.
They have him at 438.
Yeah. I think you know.
438 plate.
The dream is he earns more than that because he's a better defensive player than Schwarber and a faster guy. He's a guy who's going to be fun to watch on some level. And here's the thing: he kills it in October. It's Jocktober. He's like a huge clutch guy in the postseason. So. You know, if somebody has that in their makeup and you're trying to bank on human development, then maybe those are the kind of guys you think could give you some human development.
How much change is there going to be in this Cubs? Right? It's going to be Jock Peterson, Ian Happ, Jason Hayward, KB, Javi, Rizzo, Contreras, and then Nico Horner, right? I mean, like, there's not going to be a ton of day-to-day variance in this lineup, is there?
I bet Eric Sogard, who they just signed today, is going to end up here as a lefty second base type. We'll see if Nico Horner can earn everyday ABs. But, yeah, there's not going to be a ton of variance. But we'll see, man. Ross is the big is going to be interesting. Ross says he's going to be a lot less patient. He says he's going to be more aggressive. Remember last year, he should have messed with that lineup a hell of a lot earlier than he did. So maybe he'll get aggressive and do some wacky things if they're not producing.
Yeah, sure. And then certainly in terms of batting order that's in play. But there's not a lot of guys. There's not a lot of reliable options to go. I bet you when we end up looking at it, there will be fewer lineup combinations this year than like any year in the last five or six.
That's interesting and very possible. Very possible. Yeah, Joe Maddon's lineup combos were through the roof.
Exactly.
In all of his years. Maybe that'd be a fun one to put on over on bedrivers.com. Huh? Lineup combinations. Oh, yeah.
So what would we need 100-1 on Jock Peterson to be the MVP? Would you bet on it? No. I don't think I would.
I don't think that number's high enough, is it?
That's what I'm saying. I have some of it right here. Like, Whit Merrifield is 80-1. Byron Buxton is 100-1.
And Whit Merrifield is like an actual good player.
Yeah, he is a good player. But the team has to be decent for you to end up in the conversation. Like I'd sooner bet on
Tyler
Buxton.
Glasnow is 100-1.
Yeah, I mean the odds on Jock Peterson have to be like 500-1.
Yeah.
500. Jose Berrios is 100-1, and that's the longest odds I can give you right now.
Yeah, no, I mean those are Jose Berrios could is the ace of the Twins, should be anyway.
If anybody gives you 10,000-1 odds on anything, you take it. If John Cougar Mellencamp ever wins an Oscar, I'm going to be a very rich man.
Yeah, you always say that.
Okay. He was in a movie. He did act in a movie with like Meg Ryan or something, didn't he? Is that when you placed that bet, Shane?
Did he get an Oscar for it?
No, but like seriously, you've seen a movie. Me. You've seen a movie that John Cougar Mellencamp has been in, but you haven't seen Goodfellas. Just for the record.
Sorry,
my jackass.
Goodfellas.
True story.
It very much a true story.
It is a true story. Actually.
De Niro has the personality of a doorknob, you know, so he's worthless.
You want some Cubs real quick here for MVP?
Yeah. Who's got the favorite among the Cubs is probably Baez or Rizzo.
At 40 to 1.
Baez at 40 to 1.
Anthony Rizzo 50 to 1. Ian Happ 50 to 1.
Wow.
Chris Bryant 50 to 1.
Okay. Oh, wow. All of them right there.
Tommy Hotovy.
Where's Tommy Hotovy?
Not on the list. A huge snub. Those are your only Cubs listed that you can gamble.
I haven't looked at these. National League MVP, Mookie Betts, your favorite, Fernando Tatis, those two guys? Where are we?
Actually, Juan Soto is your favorite at 7-1. Mookie Betts and Ronald Acuna Jr. at 7.5-1. Fernando Tatis, 8.5-1.
Okay, yeah, some good players. Those are some very, very good players.
This is why we come to you for baseball.
Yeah.
Willing to exclusively report that Juan Soto, good at baseball.
Oh,
appreciate
man, he's
that.
Great. He's
highest
great.
Rated White Sox, Luis Robert, 25-1.
So that's the best odds for a White Sox player to win MVP is Luis Robert. Really?
And then
higher
Eloy
than Abreu?
Right behind him at 30-1. Abreu is also 30-1.
Man, Abreu just won it.
Tim Anderson, 35-1. So the White Sox have Yoan Moncada 40-1, have five players before the Cubs have one.
Grandal 40-1 also.
They have six players with odds better, as good or better than the top Cub in terms of MVP. That's the star power
That's
shift
wild.
In this town. That is wild.
That's just the weakness of the American League. All the talents in the Cubs League, everybody knows that. I don't know. Your team is much better. Much better.
What are Lucas Giolito's odds to win the Cy Young? Because, man, I heard Dan Zimborski this morning on with Mully and Haw, the guy who does zips for Fangraphs.
5-1.
5-1 for Giolito to win the Cy. 5-1.
He's the third favorite behind, you want to take a guess, the two guys with better odds than him in the American League?
No, go ahead.
Shane Bieber.
Garrett Cole, Shane Bieber. And then Giolito. Man.
And then a big gap. Honestly, between Giolito and Tyler Glasnow at 12-1. So they've got Giolito basically.
Lance
as one
Lynn
of the
up
three
there. 16-1.
Hey, he's top 10. He's been top
back
10
to
what, the last couple years in the top 10.
God, White Sox are going to win 110 games, aren't
back
they?
Back to back sixth. Yeah, I think at least.
Yeah, back to back six finishes for Lance Lynn. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
and seventh maybe for Lynn, something like that. Yeah, it's definitely two top sevens.
That is a phenomenal acquisition for a win now team.
Things look too promising. Don't like it. Got to be honest with you.
You'll have your mistakes. You'll have your issues, Tanny. I know they're back up to five podcasts a week on the Locked On Sox podcast. That's how excited he is, and perhaps concerned because he doesn't like how good it feels. That bizarre combination.
Guys, we're hemorrhaging time. We have to have plenty of time to talk to Layla on a Layla Wednesday next on The Score.
And here's the thing. Layla, now you can stalk Joe Biden on Peloton like you stalk my wife.
We love our friends over at the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Had Dan on the show yesterday. Happy Layla Wednesday to one and all. So let's go out to the Alpamani Misa. She's not there?
No. I tried her during the break, and she didn't pick up.
I swear to God. Listen, I know TV people can be divas, and they could be high maintenance, but how many weeks in a row are we not able to book Layla Rahimi for Layla Wednesday?
Can we take a brief break and try to get some of this stuff figured out?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That was the greatest.
She's new. She's new to the game. That was, she answered the rhetorical. The
can we take a brief break and try to get some of this stuff figured out?
I don't know.
The passive-aggressive directive to the producer from the angry host was answered literally by the green partner. Oh, that's a lovely moment right there.
It was incredible. These are the things I like to talk to her about on a Layla Wednesday, or I would like to talk to her about if we could get her on the air.
According to Bernstein, though, Danny, remember, she's learning to dance again, so she might not be available for the four-hour stretch on Wednesdays. The four-hour dance class.
Wow, that's now you're bus-tossing her. Shane, I'm pretty sure your responsibility is to either get her on or not. And if we don't get her on, then don't set up Danny so he looks ridiculous.
Do you want to try one more time? We can try one more time.
Yeah, call her. Okay. I'd like to talk to her. This is
all right, I'm call her.
Four damn weeks in a row.
I can't even do a good Layla impression. And the problem is, if we don't get Layla, I'm going to be forced to do more Bane. You know, I'm going to have to go back to Bane, and nobody wants that.
This is, I mean, you think we get these resources, we're a powerful afternoon show.
Yeah.
I'm the 18th ranked sports media personality in Chicago. Damn it.
Well, at least that one didn't stick in your head. Nope, doesn't
this
seem
is
like
an outrage.
It was gettable right now. I don't know. I think Wednesday in general, as a day of the week, is being done a disservice, frankly. You know? I mean, how many Wednesdays in a row does the day get disregarded like this before the holiday designation is taken away? Frankly. Wow.
Okay.
Hi, this is
Layla.
You've reached my voicemail. Please leave me a message, and I'll call you back when I can. Thanks.
Happy Layla.
It's Shane. We're trying to get a hold of you today on Layla Wednesday. We're kind of insulted. Our show is better than yours. This should be a promotion for you to come on our show.
Look, why don't we take a break? Can we take a break and get some of this stuff sorted out?
Can we take a brief break and try to get some of this stuff figured out?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I was preparing. I was preparing my Holocaust question, too, for Layla Wednesday. I knew exactly what it was going to be. My standard Holocaust question, like I asked at Flew LeBorg and asking Wani about trading for Rick Meyer. I knew just what it was going to be for
Layla.
I'll save it.
We'll get her on. Maybe we can only get her one Wednesday a month or something. I don't know if it's in her contract, but we'll eventually talk to our good friend Layla Rahimi again. Though I don't know if she's going to be our good friend for much longer. We got a rivalry brewing here with the Bernstein and Rahimi
beef.
Show.
We have genuine beef happening right now. I still think we should take a break and sort it out.
Matt Miller gets blocked by ESPN. Layla blocks us because of dancing. Can't get anybody to come on this show. Can we just find someone named Layla to come on Layla Wednesdays? Is that something that Shane could do? Is that possible? I don't even know. In 30 minutes, Spiegs is going to tell you his hack for winning a tremendous amount of money gambling on the NBA.
Got it.
Coming up next, we were told to dream, to think outside the box for quarterbacks for the Chicago Bears. I'm not sure if we've succeeded. It's next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.